Welcome to Caravan, the Art of Wayfaring podcast that tells the stories of people and places in Turkey.
Living is no laughing matter. You must live with great seriousness, like a squirrel, for example. I mean, without looking for something above and beyond living. I mean, living must be your whole occupation. Living is no laughing matter. You must take it seriously. So much so, and to such a degree that, for example, your hands tied behind your back, your back to the wall, or else in a laboratory in your white coat and safety glasses, you can die for people, even for people whose faces you've never seen. Even though you know living is the most real, the most glorious thing. I mean, you must take living so seriously that even at 70, for example, you'll plant olive trees, and not for your children either, but because although you fear death, you don't believe it. Because living, I mean, weighs heavier. This earth will grow cold, a star among stars, and one of the smallest, a gilded mote on blue velvet. I mean this, our great earth. This earth will grow cold one day, not like a block of ice or a dead cloud even, but like an empty walnut it will roll along in pitch black space. You must grieve for this right now. You have to feel this sorrow now. For the world must be loved this much if you are going to say, I lived. Those are the words of Nazım Hikmet Ran, most commonly referred to simply as Nazım Hikmet. He was a towering figure in 20th century Turkish literature, but despite being considered one of the best poets and playwrights of the last century, much of his life was lived in exile and infamy. Today, if you walk the streets of Istanbul and ask about who Hikmet was, you'll get one of two answers. He was a patriot, lovesick for his country. Or, the other, he was a traitor, undermining the republic. Nazım was born on January 15, 1902, in a town known today as Thessaloniki. At that time, it was still a part of the ailing Ottoman Empire. It wasn't long before his family relocated to Istanbul. His father served in the Foreign Service and was frequently away from home, and his mother was an artist. Nazim's grandfather, who is considered by some to have been a Sufi poet, may have paved the way for his grandson's love of literature. Nazım showed promise and an artistic mind even as a child. His early life happened in the midst of massive upheaval and uncertainty for his empire. The Great War broke out when he was still a child, and the Ottoman Empire would cease to exist in his formative years as a young man. All around him, the newspapers predicted imperialist Westerners would come and destroy the Turkish people. The honor tied to their land would be taken away, and they would become a victim of the Christian minorities that they had subjugated for centuries. That mixture of heroism, tragedy, loss, and senseless destruction that was World War I, and his naturally romantic imagination created a fiercely nationalistic man. For the rest of his life, the rhetoric of struggle and freedom fighting wouldn't leave his lips or his pen. But that was still ahead. Well, Hikmet was a young man going to school in Istanbul. His mother wanted to nurture the seeds of talent she recognized in her son. She hired a private teacher to come to the house and to school him in literature and poetry. Little Nazım loved it and began to express his emotions and sharpen his observations of the world through writing. But some days after his lesson, he would be put outside while his teacher and mother stayed in the house. Now, I was unable to learn whether his father was alive or had passed away at this point, but he was certainly no longer present at the home. Growing suspicious over time, Nazım snuck back in one day and discovered that his mother and teacher were indeed having an affair. He caught them red-handed. He did nothing in that moment, but he was deeply upset. After a short period of brooding, he decided to use his pen to clearly state his feelings. He wrote one poignant line on an envelope and stuffed it into his tutor's pocket unseen during a lesson. It read, quote, "You have entered this house as my teacher. You will not enter it as my father." End quote. That was the last time his tutor ever came to the house. Later, he bounced through a few schools in Istanbul, then graduated from a prestigious naval academy on one of the prince's islands. Around the same time, he also published his first poem at the age of 17. But as you might guess, being a graduate from a naval school during World War I trumped being a published amateur poet. It wasn't long before he joined the Ottoman Navy and began to contribute to the war effort for his country. He served primarily in the Black Sea, but received a discharge a few months later because of his poor health. That illness put him on a vastly different path than he had been on. On one hand, he was full of nationalistic passion. On the other, he was free from responsibility. But the fact remained that the empire was evaporating under his feet. After the Central Powers lost the war, much of modern-day Turkey had been occupied by Allied forces, including Istanbul. At first, disconnected resistance movements began to spring up in Anatolia. Then a more unified effort began as the threat of losing all the former Ottoman Empire became real to the Turks. Nazim felt a stirring in his heart. He needed to do something. That is how he found himself on the road with two friends, looking for a way to get connected to the underground and the outlawed militia forces of Mustafa Kemal, who would later come to be known as Atatürk. The three comrades walked from İnebolu, a small town on the Black Sea coast, to Ankara, the soon-to-be capital of the new republic. In Ankara, they were sure that they would find a way to join the resistance, and they were right. Hikmet was introduced to Kemal himself. They discussed what role he could play, and it was decided that he would produce poems to inspire Turks who had yet to join the movement to pick a side. His propaganda was a success, and he was offered a position as a teacher in the province of Bolu soon after. Kemal could see the passion Hikmet had for the ideal of a new country called Turkey, and was initially willing to overlook the young man's leftist leanings in order to harness his talent. Other powerful men, however, did not see it that way. He despised the other revolutionaries, and they him, because he had become a full-fledged communist. When he quit his teaching job and left for the Georgian Soviet Social Republic, he couldn't have known that this pattern of conflict with leadership and suspicion and then flight would come to epitomize the rest of his life. He chose communism when there was no room for such political ideas in the very delicate and new society of Turkey. For a few years, he lived in a city called Batumi in Georgia. Undoubtedly, he loved the communist academic circles he found at the university there and later in Moscow. In the heart of the USSR, he got to see a newly established communist regime, and he, for one, loved it. Meanwhile, things had progressed back home. Turkey won their war for independence and established themselves as a republic in 1923. The following year, the idealistic young Hikmet came home. Upon returning to Istanbul, he immediately began spreading the doctrines he had learned while abroad. Within a year, his work at a leftist magazine caught the attention of the authorities, and he was jailed for being subversive. As soon as he was released, after a short time in prison, he fled right back to Russia. 4 years later, the Turkish government granted a general amnesty for people deemed political criminals. It was the open door Hikmet was waiting for, and once again he returned home. There's a large amount of material from this stage of his life. For 10 uninterrupted years, he was able to write and to enjoy the Turkish Republic he had dreamed about rising from the ashes of the Ottoman Empire. He knew that through his pen, he could shape the popular consciousness of the country as a whole new Turkish worldview began to emerge. In total, he would complete 9 books over that decade. He threw himself into any work that related to the written word. He was a journalist, a playwright, a proofreader, a translator. He loved literature. He loved it so much that he decided not to pursue a wife or family, devoting himself intentionally instead to his mother, his friends, and his work. Had that been all that defined Hikmet's life, he may have spent his remaining years in peace. But his fourth passion, communism, was still earning him enemies. He was outspoken about his leftist views. And as a person in a place of influence, he couldn't hide. In 1938, he was arrested and imprisoned on the charge of organizing revolts against the government, and he was sentenced to 28 years in prison. Hikmet was crestfallen. Contemporaries described him as one who loved to live. He had traveled widely and greatly valued his freedom. When he was deprived of the joy of being outside in the world, he crawled inside and lived in the world that he had made for himself. Hikmet wrote most of his best and well-known works from behind bars. He was as prolific in captivity as he was in freedom. Literature and poetry became his way to transcend his existence. As the years dragged on, friends and supporters on the outside began to take notice of his plight. Celebrities from around the world campaigned to have him released. His mother even began distributing a small newspaper about him and petitioning the government to reverse the court's decision. But despite all the hunger strikes, the doctor's pleas, the international pressure, the court refused to release the poet. Then came his breakthrough. After 13 years in a cell, Hikmet was released. His health had deteriorated drastically during that time, and his country had continued to change. His reputation preceded him wherever he went, and the controversy he had kicked up reflected on the honor of his closest loved ones. It is said that one day, while his mother was handing out leaflets calling for his freedom on Galata Bridge in Istanbul, that his old tutor happened to cross her. That man who had once been madly in love with her and had offered to leave everything to elope with her turned his eyes to the pavement and walked on without even an acknowledgement. Such was the power of the stigma Hikmet had created. Thus, on the outside, he was never truly free, and the forces that opposed him had one more card to play. In Turkey, all males are required to fulfill mandatory military service, usually completed in one's 20s. Despite his discharge from the Navy, his health, and his age, the military served him with draft papers when he was 49 years old. Fleeing military duty, Hikmet left Turkey for the last time in 1951. Once again, he escaped as an exile. By way of explanation to his followers, he broadcast a farewell over the radio detailing his reasons for leaving. He said that he didn't believe he would survive military service and that it was better to live in the USSR as a poet than to die in Turkey as a soldier. For more than 12 years, he continued the life of an artist on the run, as he had for many years previously. Then, at the age of only 61, Hikmet died in Moscow. His final request was that his body be repatriated to Turkey and buried under a chinar tree in any of the Turkish villages in Anatolia. In 1963, the year of his death, all of Hikmet's poems were taken off the prohibited list in Turkey. The voice he always wanted had been granted to him in death. A friend once told me that to be Turkish is to love regret. And while I'm sure that's not true for all Turks, you'll find the theme of melancholy and longing for what has been lost or what could have been come up again and again in everything from music to paintings to soap operas to poems. It's said that Nazım Hikmet loved nothing more than Turkey and wanted nothing more than the freedom of the Turkish people, but he lived his whole adult life at odds with the values of his countrymen. His last request for his body to be brought back to Turkey has yet to be fulfilled. In both life and death, he embodied the constant regret of separation from the object of his first and most consistent love, Turkey. In the end, he became a living parable of that same Turkish angst that he had written about so eloquently for 40 years. If you would like to read any of Hikmet's work, much of it has been translated into English. Samples can be found online, like the poem that I read at the beginning, and fuller anthologies can be purchased from wherever you get your books.
Caravan is written, produced, and recorded by me, Sean Stevenson Douglas. Music was written and performed by our good friend Tarık Yılmaz. If you want to hear more about life and adventures in Turkey, find us on Facebook and Twitter, or visit www.artofwayfaring.com. You'll find fresh content posted weekly on our website.